Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all. Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Well, all right. We're moving around with Deborah as Deborah moves around.
We are moving around today. I'm so glad that everyone has taken the time to be here. It's such a busy, busy day. So many things are happening in this new year. 2022.
Yeah, we've got Reverend Al Sampson on my line. Just hold on, Reverend. We'll just keep you on the phone right here.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
And, well, this is Unity Month. Isn't that amazing? You know, we're practicing unity. We're practicing all of the accolades that we have witnessed with our father, our own Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And many accolades he had, and he moved around quite a bit. So I am glad to be here. I'm glad to have this topic on this, the first 2022. And amazingly, this is the actual first day. You know, they celebrate it so many different times, so many different days, but this is actually the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King,
yes.
And we are glad to have you and our guest here, Naima.
Yes. All right. Well, we've got a special guest today, one who was ordained by Dr. King. And as one of his contemporaries can give us some insight, one of the things we're looking at, as you mentioned, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he moved around quite a bit. He started out as being seen as a leader of the Southern movement, but then we realized the issue of racism is actually national. And then, of course, his movement for nonviolent change and social justice became global. So we want to welcome to our show my dear friend, the distinguished Reverend Al Sampson, pastor of Fernwood United Methodist Church here in Chicago. Thank you for joining us, Reverend Sampson.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the responsibility.
Well, absolutely. It is a responsibility to teach those younger generations who were not there and do not know really about the life of Dr. King. So can you tell us, Reverend Sampson, you know, we're going to play a little at the break. We're going to play a short clip of Dr. King's last speech. But a lot of young people, they get this very abbreviated image of him. He said he had a dream and he wanted white and black people to join hands. And they really don't get the impact of his philosophy of transformation of human beings. And so they don't really understand what his life meant. But tell us a bit about your experience with Dr. King. What about him drew you into the movement and made you accept his philosophy of nonviolence as a strategy for social justice?
Well, first let me say God bless to all of the sisters that are on this important historical call. I'm originally from Massachusetts. I went to school at Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina, 57 to 61, and then fast forward, ultimately I ended up on the staff with Martin Luther King because of Reverend C.T. Vivian. I was his assistant director of chapters and affiliates. What is so deep about my relationship with him, and the sisters go on their phone, tablet, or computer and put the words Rev, small caps, RevAlSampson.com. When you open that up, you'll see that there are five people at the table, and I'm the last one at the end. But fast forward, I literally walked into Dr. King's office one day and said to him that he had over 100-plus staff people all over the country, but I'm the only one that he ordained. He only ordained three men. Two of them were assistant pastors at his daddy's church in Atlanta, Georgia, but I was the only one on the staff. Please listen to this. It's amazing that I'm the only one inside of his organization that he ordained. And then after his assassination, his wife, Coretta Scott King, was confronted by some folk who wanted her to market a Martin Luther King watch. As you scroll down with that RevAlSampson.com,
mm-hmm.
You'll see the watch. And on the watch, it's a picture of Martin Luther King with his name. And it's 12 letters, and it says, I have a dream.
Wow.
And as far as I know, I'm the only one that she gave the watch to that was Dr. King, I got called into ministry in 1957. And I got licensed, but I ain't never been ordained. I can't marry anybody in my ministry. I can't baptize anybody because I don't have no ordination. And I was just talking. He ain't said nothing right to this day. He went to the phone, dialed up, and while I was continuing to talk, he put the phone down and said, okay, you'll be coming in front of a group of preachers to make sure that you know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Read the ordination that's on that RevAlSamson.com. You'll see that inside of it, he talked to a brother named Homer McCall, who came out of Huntsville, Alabama. And Homer died a couple of years ago. But I'm the only one alive that he ordained in the ministry. And he talks about two books. He said you want to get two books when you preach. And he lays out how a preacher is supposed to preach.
Mm.
And in the ordination, I need somebody in your group to say, amen, Reverend, I got it.
Amen, Reverend, I got it. And we have scrolling across our TV screen. It says go to RevAlSamson.com so our viewers can go to the website. Matter of fact, I may be able to pull it up on the screen. That is RevAlSamson.com, right?
Yeah, small letters. Small letters. Now, the first picture you're going to see is a brother. It's about five of us. On the end is George Wiley, who was a professor at New York University. Next to him is a sister named Johnny Tillman. And she was out of California. And she was president of the National Welfare Rights Organization. Then there's Dr. King, Ralph Abernathy, and I'm at the end of the table. Somebody say amen now. You got to say amen to me.
All right. Well, amen.
You got it.
All right. My computer's trying to pull it up on the screen here, and we'll get an opportunity to.
With your phone, tablet, or your raising is, that meeting was done at the 8th and Wabash Y here in Chicago. And the women. This is when Dr. King was going to launch the Poor People's Campaign. And those sisters came mad with him because he didn't know anything about the organization. George Wiley had done the research that there are more white folks on welfare, white women on welfare, than there are black sisters. And they were jumping him. He didn't know about the organization, and they wanted to be a part of the Poor People's Campaign.
Mm.
And the bottom line, they were beating up on him about his insensitivity in their world. Fast forward, when they got through for about an hour and a half, you know, sometimes the worst thing a black man can do is make the sisters mad. Because I'm on the radio right now, what they end up doing with Dr. King, they found themselves beating up on him, and then ultimately Dr. King said, and that's why I'm happy to be on this radio station with you all this morning, what they ended up doing, here's the deep part. He said, I'm sorry.
Mm.
And then he went to preaching about how he would never neglect black women. And he apologized and went to preaching.
Wow.
By the time he got through, then he ran up on that table. He came down and met with them. They asked for his autograph. They were talking, you know, black women can change their mind if you say, I'm sorry, if you say, forgive me. And then if you go to preaching, you know, that doubles up the blessing. And at the conference tomorrow, and we will endorse and put you all in the front of the line. And when they left out happy that they were going to be a part of the Poor People's Campaign, he turned to all of us and said, "Don't ever get so big for your britches that you can't say, 'I'm sorry.'"
Mm.
And I got two lessons out of that. The first lesson was Dr. King taught us, because we watched him, about his ability to listen. When you all remember, Naima, when we were out at Gage Park and we would do the demonstrations and they threw something at Dr. King and it hit him. And the press asked him, "What you think about Chicago?" He said, "It's worse than Mississippi." And when we went back to the West Side, I lived with him, with Jim Bevel and James Arndt. We lived at 1550 South Hamlin. And when we were there, we met the brothers and sisters, specifically the brothers, the Vice Lords, Pueblo, Goat, Tex, and then because I studied Saul Alinsky, Ralph Abernathy was on the board of Saul Alinsky, who created the Woodlawn Organization. I was there during the Squire Lance days, and we ended up organizing the Homeowners Association in Woodlawn, and I met Jeff Ford, and then we were over in Englewood because of Reverend John Porter. I called him the Moses of Englewood, and John Porter had a church over there, United Methodist Church, and I met David Barksdale, and then I produced the first major convention in Chicago with the brothers and sisters from the street, and we learned that's the heartbeat of Black America. I was Martin King's project director for the Carl Stokes campaign. First time Carl Stokes ran for office, he lost. He had the church, but he didn't have the street. And when we went to Cleveland, we ended up, and I talked this weekend with a brother that was a part of that movement. And the key is, we met a brother named Ahmed Evans. He had dreadlocks before dreadlocks was born. And then he wore sandals. He didn't know nothing about Dr. King, because a lot of our brothers in the street lean more to Malcolm X and Stokely Carmichael. And then when I introduced him and set it up for him and Dr. King to hook up, and they ended up producing the largest voter registration drive, Carl Stokes became the first Black mayor of the same time that Hatch and Gary became mayor in Black America. But my point is that the Black church, he was all right, but he didn't have the street. And so my ministry has always been about the street. So the value of Martin Luther King was that he listened to people. We would be in staff meetings for a long time discussing strategy, analysis. And, you know, one of Dr. King's words of comfort was, "Don't ever come to the banquet table with just an appetite. Otherwise, you'd be arguing about the menu."
Mm.
And his whole point was that you had to do your homework. So there's seven steps to nonviolence, which is what him and brother named Jim Lawson, who met with the Gandhi people years and years ago. And the first step is gather the information. Because out of your information, your strategy flows. One of the weaknesses right now inside the Black community is we don't have a think tank. Years ago, we had the resource network, and I stayed there for about a year studying, because spending a lot of time in the South, we had to know about the North. We had to know about the urban world versus the rural world, even though we was in Birmingham, but that's a different world than a Chicago, a Cleveland, or a New York. And what we ended up doing after that, I came in and out with, like I said, with Squire Lance and TWO, and that time there was a brother named Linwood Stevenson, who was a AME preacher, very militant. So the first step of nonviolence is gather the information. Out of your information, your strategy flows. And the second step is that after you get the information, then you have to educate the people about the information. And that's how movements get built. And then the third thing is you have to move what we call purification. You have to fast. Why I preach it? Because when I was in Natchez, Mississippi, and Charles Evers called Martin King and said that a man named George Metcalf, who was the NAACP bill secretary down there in Mississippi, he turned his Nixon on in his car, and it injured him. Right to this day, when I get in my car, I keep the door open. He closed it. And wow. Charles Evers called and said, "We want you to come on in, Reverend." And Dr. King chose me and another brother named Stoney Cooks, who ended up as Andy Young's assistant, Carl Farris, who was a labor brother out of Chicago. And the bottom line, we all flew in, and that's where we met the Deacons for Defense. Those were the farmers that came straight out to the airport. We got off the plane, and they took us right on to the mass meeting. That night, Sister Naima, I preached the sermon, Shadrach, Meshach, and the Bad Negro. we tore the church up. And then the white sheriff sent a note over to the pastor of the church. The pastor read the note and handed it to me. And when I looked at it, the note said, as soon as that Martin Coon, they never call us Martin King, they always call us Martin Coon. That as soon as that Martin Coon gets through preaching, I want y'all to get on home. And now there I am. I'm talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and the Bad Negro. And here's the sheriff, the military man in the town, telling black folk at that moment in history that they get home, that, you know, when that Martin Coon gets through.
Mm.
And I ended up reading the note, and I said, "Choose ye this day." But for me, if I have to be by myself, I'm gonna have a night demonstration.
Wow.
It's got to be a nonviolent demonstration, because Dr. King says it's either nonviolence or non-existence. So the bottom line is, we lined the people up, and some people did scurry on home. And so a whole lot of them, about 1,000, close to 2,000, was with us. And I made sure that everybody in the line didn't have no weapons. And I'll always tell the story about this grandma. I went up to her. I said, "Baby, you know we nonviolent. Do you have any weapons or anything?" And she looked at me, dropped her head, and she said, well, Reverend, I do have a ball hammer." Remember them hammers? They call them the ball hammers.
Yes.
I said, Grandma, what you doing with the ball? She said, "Well, Reverend, I'm just going to try to get me one if they bothered me." I said, baby, I hugged her. She every bit of 70, 80 years of age, walking around with a ball hammer.
Oh, wow.
And so I hugged her, and I said, "You got to give it up, baby girl." I said, "Because that ball hammer ain't going to help us if they stop. and I love Dr. King, so I'll give that. I said, well, yeah, I called the brothers from the Deacons for Defense, and they picked it up. And then we started an evening demonstration about 10:30. We got no further than two blocks, and they had buses lined up. So they already knew that we was going, but it was their plan for us to move down to the courthouse, because we wanted to know where the sheriff's office was. And I publicly said that we're going down to see the sheriff, because I will not bow. And I didn't know, but that was my sermon. Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro, and we started walking. And we ended up on them buses. And they took us to Alcatraz, Mississippi State Penitentiary, turned the air conditioner on in the cell, stripped us buck naked. And it's the first time in my life where I saw that, you know, I could see through the cell window that they had black women in there, because they demonstrated with us. And they were stripping.
Oh, no.
We were naked, and they were naked.
Oh, no.
And the first time I saw where black women was cattle prodded in their sacred parts.
Oh, that's horrifying.
That to this day stuck with me. And anybody who's down there in Jackson and Natchez, Mississippi, the fast forward is that we fasted. We shut the economic system down. Jails are an economic proposition. And what we said was, we ain't eating. We're going to purification.
Mm.
For God to give us the liberation. And by fasting, the milk backed up in the cow. And the grass wasn't green no more. And they had to hurry up and get us out the jail after the fourth, fifth, sixth day. And the point I'm raising is that years later, the mayor of the town gave us a key to the city, apologized for it.
Wow.
And there's a monument down there now. There's a monument down there with my name on it and the other people who demonstrated. And my point is, the third level of nonviolence is purification.
Mm.
You want liberation, you got to have purification. And you have to work it out with the phrase, yet though you slay me, I'm going to trust in him. You have to see yourself as Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro.
Wow.
Okay, so the first level of nonviolence is information. Second level is education. And then the third level is purification.
Information, education, purification. Okay.
Yeah. And then the next level is confrontation. And then the next level is reconciliation, what we call the Ten Commandments. The genius of the Ten Commandments is that it sets out what you hear some people talk about, the codes of conduct. It's right there with the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
You got to love your mom and daddy. You can't steal. You know, I mean, it's right there. And then the last part is reconciliation. It means I can go because I ate. And if you check, Haki Madhubuti has a chapter in there where he talks about, well, I write it, but I'm in the book, The Rise of the Phoenix. Where it talks about the seven steps of nonviolence. A couple of years ago, I saw a commercial here in Chicago where they were talking about the steps of nonviolence, but they only did six because it was a McDonald's commercial. So you can't tell people don't eat McDonald's and they're paying for the commercial. But it's seven steps.
So Reverend Sam, we're about to go to break now, but let me make sure I have these steps out. I'm going to put them on the screen here. And as you've been talking, of course, we pulled up your website with the photos. And I have one, information, number two, education, number three, purification, number four, confrontation,
yeah,
and number five, reconciliation. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. And then that's number five. And then number six is where you sit with the person.
Negotiation.
Yeah, that's right. And then number seven is reconciliation.
Okay. Well, I have five reconciliations, so that must be.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The number seven is where we write. That's where we get the Ten Commandments, where you write how we going to behave, what's going to be our responsibility. So if you boycott a store, they have to say on what side, one side, these are the things we're going to do. We're going to hire black folks. We're going to give them better than minimum wage. And then on the other side, then we'll participate by bringing the market to you. But you have to have codes of conduct, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But all that is in the book, The Rise of the Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
You know, Haki Madhubuti. And you, if you go to URL, the Underground Bookstore.
Yeah.
I talked with him last night. He'll order the books for you.
Well, all right.
Because as sisters, you want to teach our younger sisters and brothers how they need to learn the seven steps of nonviolence.
Okay, so I know I got one of these wrong. One, information. Two, education. Three, purification. Four, confrontation. Now, which one is five? Because the seven is reconciliation. What comes after the confrontation?
After the confrontation, it's where we write out what our relationship is going to be.
Okay.
Remember Willie Barrow showed us in the town how stores would give us bad meat.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the word for that though.
Yeah, and weights and.
So is that the plan?
Yeah, that's the steps. When you get ready to change something, these are the steps you got to go through. So we just
want
to get that word for number five.
I want people to take the responsibility and get the book. And maybe next week for Black History Month, we could go over the seven steps of nonviolence.
Seven steps of nonviolence. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Reverend, and when we come back, we're going to play a short clip, about 3 minutes of Dr. King's last speech, and then, you know, tell us what you and the rest were feeling at that moment. So we'll be back after this quick break, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. We got some callers on the line. We'll see if we can squeeze you in before Reverend Sampson has to go. And if you're listening and want to join us visually on Facebook, go to Facebook at The Female Solution, and you can join us and write in your comments. We will share them with our listening and viewing audience, and we will be right back after this quick break. We want you to stay with us. Our guest today is Reverend Al Sampson, who is pastor at Fernwood United Methodist Church in Chicago, and he has the distinction of having been ordained by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
And of course,
may I say this, please?
Yes, yes.
Because it brings tears to my eyes. A year before that, Dr. King brought all of us together and told us that a black FBI agent told him that the United States government was going to assassinate him.
Wow.
And Hermine Hartman and attorney Lou Myers, we went to Northwestern University on the north side. You know, Conrad and Bob Stocks was at the Center for Inner City Studies, but it was a part of Northwestern University. We went there for the Martin King celebration. And it was there that I told them the story. And it's in a couple of the books. But Dick Gregory says that the night at Mason Temple, Ralph Abernathy called Martin King and said, Martin, I know you don't feel good, but you really got to come because there's several thousand people here. The church is packed. And that's where the brothers in Memphis were fighting about the garbage workers, and they had signs saying, I am a man. And a brother named Calvin Jarrett, known as Taboo, has given me a jacket that he made with the words, I am a man. So fast forward. Dr. King said, well, you know, I don't feel good. He said, but you got to come, Mom. And so Mom said, okay. And Dick Gregory said after he put the phone down, Martin got a telephone call where the white folks told him that they were going to assassinate him. So when you hear the phrase, I might not get there, but we as a people will get to the promised land. That's what that whole piece is. And here's the other part of the history. When Dr. King met with us, he told us that the FBI had already said, okay. Then we get to the school, and I tell the story. A brother stands up with dreadlocks and says, I'm a student. And my daddy was the first black chief of police at the city in Evanston, where they had the first black woman mayor in the city of Evanston. And he said the reverend is telling the truth because my daddy had to go through the FBI training school. The next year, they invited us back for a Martin King celebration. And the brother brought his father. And his father sat there with me, and he told me that the FBI had been following Martin Luther King. And because he was talking about the Poor People's Campaign, which was the principle of a guaranteed income, where a man named Nguema, he ended up in a retreat with us in South Carolina at the Penn Center. And he said, Dr. King, there'll be no peace until black folk get a guaranteed income. Because all white folks, like Trump, his daddy gave him a guaranteed income. Amen, Reverend. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the whole economic principle. And so when Tavis Smiley and Cornel West wrote the book, it was about Vietnam War. He didn't check with nobody from the staff. The real point was in Washington, D.C., a lot of black people worked for the government. You remember them named G-10s and G-15s?
Yes.
Up in the government. And they knew there was a brother named Walt Fauntroy who was a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
He had a church in the Shaw area of Washington, D.C. And he took, Walt Fauntroy took all of the governmental stuff that Dr. King and all of us was fighting over, and he got the resources and built up that community. But my point being is everybody knew, based on what he did in Chicago, gathering the ministers, Cleveland, gathering the ministers and street folk, they knew that if Dr. King talking about the Poor People's Campaign, they knew that they had to assassinate him because they could shut the government down with Martin Luther King coming through there with the Poor People's Campaign. That was the fundamental reason, because the black church is the center. It's the nerve center. It's the heartbeat of our people, and that's why they've been whittling away to destroy the black church. That's why a lot of churches are only open 2 days a week, just on Sunday morning. At the Martin King Church down in Birmingham, where we had the dogs and the police beating up on us. The reality is they ended up not understanding that the black church is the most powerful institution, and we understand that. And when he made that statement in 1968, when you talked to Prince Asael ben Israel from the Hebrew Israelites, that was the statement, because Prince is an alpha, Martin King is an alpha, and he saw the prophetic words, I might not get there, but we as the people will get there. And his whole point is that he saw the economic principle. And based on that, Prince Asael was able to issue the call that brothers and sisters need to go back to Israel. And that's where the whole movement. So if you ever have him on, he'll tell you that story. And here's the bottom line. The bottom line is I'm one of the biblical scholars for the original African Heritage Bible. All that is on that RevAlSampson.com. You'll see all that. And what does that mean? We got enough information now that Moses was not Charleston Heston. Elizabeth Taylor wasn't the Queen of Sheba. And Jesus wasn't born in Europe with blonde hair and blue eyes. He was born in the little town of Bethlehem, up the street from Egypt, around the corner from Ethiopia. And let me close out with this, because I'm the only preacher that does this. It's called The Family and Friends of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was born January 15, 1929. He got assassinated April 4th, 1968. For those of you who understand the spiritual world of our people, go on over to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, 1 through 13, where he talks about no replay, no reruns under God's plan. All of y'all got phones, it's on somebody's plan, AT&T, Verizon, track phone. But the genius of this presentation, and I want to thank you for this moment, and by the way, my church is now called Fernwood Community Outreach Church.
Fernwood Community Outreach Church, okay.
The United Methodists came to me and told me they were going to tear the church down unless I bought it. So I ended up buying it. And one day I'll tell you that story.
Mm.
If you all decide to have me back on.
Oh, absolutely.
You might not want me to come on no more. I ain't heard enough.
Oh, well, we're just so fascinated. But I will share with you some of the statements before you go.
The name of the church now is Fernwood Community Outreach Church. And I'm trying to make it a historical church under the state and federal capacity because it was built in 1885. And I'm the only Methodist preacher that I know of that was there for 38 years. Most preachers move around from one church to another. But I stayed there because I was blessed by a brother named Willie Clay, who asked me, what you going to do now that Martin's gone? I said, well, one thing I ain't going to do, I'm not going to work for the white people. He said, okay, well, what do you want? I said, I don't know. I wish I could have a church. He said, well, I got one for you. And that's how I ended up at 10057 South Wallace. The church is closed now because we had other preachers who didn't know how to love black folk. A lot of people don't know how to love black folk. A lot of preachers don't know how to love black folk. And we have a center program. We help people with their lights, gas, water bill. And here's what I'd like to do. I've got access to a radio, real estate for the radio TV program coming up out of the church. And I'd like you all to meet with me, and I would love to meet with you because you've been out here a long time, sister. And I would love to have the sisters work with me on a seven-day-a-week church. I'm the only preacher in the country with a Department of Agriculture in my church. I heard the commercial about healthy food. Well, July, August, September, and then Thanksgiving, November. I'm the only preacher for 25, 30 years been bringing black farmers. Southern University, we bring sweet potatoes and pecans, shelled and unshelled. Arkansas, that's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In Arkansas, A&M, we bring crowder peas, butter beans, purple house, mixed vegetables, frozen. In Alcorn, the Mississippi, down in Marks, Mississippi, we bring mustard turnips, collard greens, frozen. It's in Marks, Mississippi. That's where Dr. King was with the Poor People's Campaign. And after the movement was over, we brought people from Marks, Mississippi, Brother Phipps from Marks, Mississippi, up here to Chicago. So I want to work with you all on the whole health crisis because we're the only race of people where everybody feeds us but us. And the food we eat is causing the diseases that we have. More diabetes, more dialysis machines, more obesity is in our program. There's a white woman named Maria Gallagher who went to LaSalle Bank and got the money, and she did a study which gave birth to the word the food desert. And what it really was saying is that you go into any of these grocery stores. And they got watermelons with no seeds. Not my farmers. We deal with heirloom seeds. So on another moment in time, I'd like to come on and talk about this whole black farmers piece. At Lincoln University, we have an heirloom seed bank in memory of George Washington Carver. But let me close with this, because I have a 1:30 piece with a sister that just became the president of the Milwaukee program where she looks at genealogy, what we call the family tree. There's a sister in this town named Gwen Holland that teaches people how they can go back and look at their family tree. And I can introduce you to her so that people will know the fundamental question that gives pain to our people. Who am I? And when I did my DNA, I'm the Gina Page, I ended up in Sierra Leone, and they gave me, I took my credentials by Dr. Rick Kittles, and I ended up going to Sierra Leone because I found out on my mother's side, I'm from Sierra Leone.
Wow.
And on my daddy's side, I'm from Nigeria.
Mm.
And I'm an adopted child. And so I want to be able to open those doors for y'all. But listen to this. Martin King was 39 years of age. He gave us 470 months. He gave us 2,046 weeks.
Mm.
He gave us 14,324 days. He gave us 343,776 hours. He gave us 20,626,560 minutes. He gave us 1,237,593,600 seconds. As far as I know, I'm the only preacher that does time date.
Wow.
With people. We just lost Brother Gatling. And I got one tomorrow morning for Brother Gatlin's life. But let me say it one more time. He was 39 years of age.
Yeah.
January 15th, 1929. He died April 4th, 1968. At 39. He gave us 470 months, 2,046 weeks, 14,324 days, 343,776 hours. He gave us 20,626,560 minutes. He gave us 1,237,593,600 seconds. And listen to this. The former president of Morehouse College, Benjamin Mays, said it another way. Because you can't buy no minutes.
Right.
Okay, so this is what he said. I've only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Greg, it falls upon me. Can't be good. Whoa, preacher, slow down. Oh, I was just trying to let the young people know. They were the originators of rap.
Yes.
And this old man, Benjamin Mays, started rapping when they were in their mama's womb. With God making the decision of whether they're going to be male or female. So let me slow down.
Mm.
I've only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it. I'm going to see if somebody up in there going to say amen when I get through.
All right, please.
But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Well, for those of you who just woke up, let me say it again. I've only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it. I didn't even choose it. But it's up to me and you and you and you to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it.
Yeah.
I want y'all to celebrate the minutes under the plan of God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your minutes under the plan of God. And don't any of y'all run out of minutes running away.
Absolutely. Well, let me read you a big amen you got from Sister Joy, Mama Joy Segura. She put this message on our Facebook page. She said, generations in America and the world, sending of this great 21st century prophet of God to us, we must continue to honor the prophets of 200 or more years ago, but let's not be blind to the now on our time prophets. God is still making prophets. Our eyes must be willing to see and our hearts speak and tongue confess, tell of the glory of God on this man. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Al Sampson.
That's awesome. And the other good thing about it, I want to set up a school of discipleship.
Yeah. Well, she says, come on back and tell us the stories. You want
to? Yep, yep. I would just love the sisters to study the power of the Queen of Sheba and the power of Solomon. And that's why I want to do the whole idea of creating a school of discipleship so that we can create queens and kings. And,
absolutely.
And then I'll be all right because, you know, I just turned 83 years of age.
Wow, congratulations.
I'm an ancient Negro. When they was making Mount Kilimanjaro, I was being born.
All right.
And what I want to be able to do is leave a legacy where people understand Fannie Lou Hamer, who came to our citizenship education classes, Amelia Boynton out of Alabama, Fannie Lou Hamer coming out of Mississippi. And we can't ever forget the Underground Railroad with Harriet Tubman and Marcus Garvey. So we have to create within our own culture with retired school teachers. There are a lot of them that are retired because of Rahm Emanuel shutting down so many schools.
Yeah.
We need to create the curriculum so that our young people will be able to have it structured where they'll remember the life's dreams and feelings, thoughts. There's a sister that got a book out about the three mothers who made three great men, James Baldwin, Malcolm X, and Martin King. Never has it been done where the role of the black woman in the life of these three great men. But look at all of the brothers who've had it, where the mothers have had an impact on their lives. And here's the mystery as I close, sister. It's amazing that I'm from way up in Boston, a little town called Everett, and other people that are down in Birmingham, and then some other people are in Massachusetts, and some other people are in Mississippi. But watch this. Don't nobody know. I'm going to see if the sisters, I don't know how many sisters are on this call, but I'm going to see if they're going to
share. We got a global audience, so we
okay.
And Cheryl Jones says, what a privilege it is to hear you, Reverend Sampson.
Okay, so let me tell you the secret of our ancestors, how awesome they are. Quote, how did they create this prayer?
Mm.
And we don't know who started it, but it has become oral tradition for us. And I'm going to open up this as one secret. I got some more, but I'm going to open this one up. And here's the prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep.
Mm.
Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Does anybody on this call remember the words of the ancestors and the mystery?
Y'all learned that one.
The mystery is, how could I be all the way in Everett, Massachusetts, and my mama came out of Henderson, North Carolina, and she taught me that prayer? And how could somebody in Mississippi hear it today, or Alabama, or Africa, or the Caribbean, what I call the triangle? If you put your thumb and your finger together, your largest finger together, it's a triangle. And the triangle says Africans of the homeland.
Yeah.
Blacks in America, that's the B, A-B, and Caribbean, Canadian brothers and sisters is the C. The double C.
Yeah.
A-B, that's triangle.
Yes, it is.
But how could we know that those words? Now lay me down to sleep.
Yeah.
Alice Hamby did the book Roots, and it got translated into several African languages all over Africa, and we went with Minister Farrakhan to Joffrey.
I remember.
So thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. We love you, and we got to have you back. Everybody's saying come on back, so we'll have you back. We're going to talk about that farming program, and we're going to do some work. Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Send me an email telling me revalsampson.sampson10@gmail.com. And have your folks send me an email saying they want to know about the Black Farmers Project. Because we need to have an economic summit around feeding our own
selves. Yes. Yeah. We've been connected to the farming community out there in Pembroke, and we're going to bring it all together and have that summit.
Yeah, because I started the program in Pembroke. Because
wow.
Because of Dr. King. I'm doing a documentary on Pembroke.
Oh, we got to talk.
That's
for sure.
We got to hook up.
Yes,
we
do. Yeah, we got video footage, so we got to do that. Enjoy your day, and we'll see you soon.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We love you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that was Reverend Al Sampson, who, of course, was ordained by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., living history. And we're so pleased to be able to bring you some living history, someone who has actually been a part of the movement and can give us some firsthand information. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to bring you some more words from Dr. King and a look at why his movement transcended America and transcends time. And we'll also reiterate those 7 steps of nonviolence, which, of course, leads to the establishment of some new policies. And we're going to go to our phone lines and take your call. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Beata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on Cable TV Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Andrew Clarence Merrill Nelson. I want to thank Dr. Albert Sampson for his words of profound wisdom. I was going to call Sister Micah Bevel in Pembroke, Illinois yesterday. The thought came to my mind to encourage her that in my capacity as Cook County Board President or perhaps Mayor of the City of Chicago, we're going to really implement her urban farm initiative. And
yes,
I would say it.
Reverend Sampson, us getting together to really put that initiative together. I think that's quite visionary of you, because that really is a solution to many of our problems. And thank you for all the work you've done with us with the Pandemic Farm Program. We're going to be expanding that this spring, and of course, for those who don't know, Pandemic stands for Producing Agricultural Nourishment, Developing Economies, Making Independent Communities. And Andrew Nelson is one of our stockholders in that enterprise, and so we appreciate that. And thank you also for coming out with us. We went out and did some berry picking this, I think it was last spring or spring. It's kind of hard to get these years mixed up because we've kind of had two down years with the pandemic, but we went out there because the berry pickers could not, you know, a lot of them were hampered because of the pandemic of coming out and working in the field. So we actually went out and Maika hooked us up with many of the blueberry farmers out there in Pembroke to pick berries. So thank you for joining us in that adventure as well. We appreciate you.
Yes, one thing that I have in common with Dr. Albert Sampson is that I love and admire and support the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, and, you know, as a matter of fact, Reverend Sampson says that during the time, you know, after the Nation of Islam was kind of going through some transitions and a little bit of difficulties and challenges, Minister Farrakhan wanted to rebuild the organization as he saw it, you know, one that was very much disciplined and focused and transformative of lives. And so Reverend Sampson says that he was the only church that would allow him to speak, you know, and hold meetings and, you know, find followers. So they have a long, long friendship, and, you know, it says a lot. You know, those who befriend Minister Farrakhan, because, as we know, he's quite fearless. He's not beholden to anybody. He's got his own independent economic structure, so, you know, nobody can threaten him to do anything, so he says what he wants to say. So it's only a few people who have the courage to openly befriend him, and they also have to be the kind of people who aren't afraid and don't have anything someone can threaten to take away from them. You know, you got to denounce him or we'll take away your blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, so many people will call the minister.
The fact that he has his own church.
You know, at night, but not in the light of day. So, yes, you're right. Reverend Sampson is one of those open friends, which we appreciate that as well.
You know, I'm the nephew and grandson of these ministers, and my Uncle Merrill would actually build churches. It was pretty much in Ohio, and my paternal grandfather, Reverend Duncan Wesley Nelson, was a Methodist minister from Little Rock, Arkansas, who founded his own Cape Memorial Methodist Church well over 100 years ago. And I was baptized and confirmed by Mason D. Pembroke, St. Mark United Methodist Church, and I would just say I look forward to working with Dr. Albert Sampson. I am very impressed by the fact that he, purchased Fernwood, and now it's the community center. So it's kind of not beholden
Fernwood community.
So the Methodist Church hierarchy.
Yes. Well, you know, that also lets us know that there's a time when, you know, sometimes we have to step out and be independent, and you can get a lot done. But definitely many of the churches back in the day of Dr. King, they were threatened into not allowing Dr. King to speak, much as churches are threatened into not letting Minister Farrakhan speak. So it's kind of interesting that legacy of being denied access to a church audience. And, you know, you really have to have, and I believe it was Reverend Clay Evans, who was the fearless leader of the time that allowed Dr. King to come and speak at his church, because so many other church pastors were afraid. They were, threatened with all kinds of things, and we know that sometimes the city can threaten to close you down and say that you didn't meet some kind of building code requirements or tax requirements or whatever. So those are the kinds of tactics that would frighten pastors into not supporting Dr. King. But we thank you so much for your diligence and tenacity and willingness to explore some different ways of creating change. Andrew Nelson, we're going to go to a clip right now of Dr. King. Hold on, we'll be back to you after the clip. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will come right to you and get your thoughts. Dr. King had a lot of he made a lot of enemies, but he also created a lot of disciples, a lot of followers, a lot of people who imitated his style, a lot of people who admired his capacity to move people with words. But he had many of the qualities that we want to see in our clergy, and that is to be able to combine the ability to preach with a vision of social justice. And this is one of the things that we would like to see in those who are leading.
This morning, I would like to use as a subject.
So we're going to share with you what he speaks as the drum major instinct. You know, leadership is what is needed in our spiritual communities. And Dr. King did provide that leadership. So we're going to share with you one of those presentations of Dr. King and get your thoughts as he speaks of the drum major instinct.
From which the
restart from the beginning.
The drum major instinct. The drum major instinct. And our text for the morning is taken from a very familiar passage in the 10th chapter as recorded by St. Mark, beginning with the 35th verse of that chapter, we read these words, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." And then Jesus goes on toward the end of that passage to say, "But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." The setting is clear. James and John are making a specific request of the Master. They had dreamed, as most of the Hebrews dreamed, of a coming king of Israel who would set Jerusalem free and establish his kingdom on Mount Zion and in righteousness rule the world. And they thought of Jesus as this kind of king, and they were thinking of that day when Jesus would reign supreme as this new king of Israel. And they were saying, now, when you establish your kingdom, let one of us sit on the right hand and the other on the left hand of your throne. Now, very quickly, we would automatically condemn James and John, and we would say they were selfish. Why would they make such a selfish request? But before we condemn them too quickly, let us look calmly and honestly at ourselves, and we will discover that we too have those same basic desires for recognition, for importance, that same desire for attention, that same desire to be first. Of course, the other disciples got mad with James and John, and you could understand why, but we must understand that we have some of the same James and John qualities. And that is deep down within all of us, an instinct. It's a kind of drum major instinct, a desire to be out front, a desire to lead the parade, a desire to be first. And it is something that runs a whole gamut of life. And so before we condemn them, let us see that we all have the drum major instinct. We all want to be important, to surpass others, to achieve distinction, to lead the parade. Alfred Adler, the great psychoanalyst, contends that this is the dominant impulse. Sigmund Freud used to contend that sex was the dominant impulse, and Adler came with a new argument saying that this quest for recognition, this desire for attention, this desire for distinction is the basic impulse, the basic drive of human life, this drum major instinct. And you know, we began early to ask life to put us first. Our first cry as a baby was a bid for attention. And all through childhood, the drum major impulse or instinct is a major obsession. Children ask life to grant them first place. They are a little bundle of ego. They have innately the drum major instinct. Now, in adult life, we still have it, and we really never get by it. We like to do something good, and you know, we like to be praised for it. Now, if you don't believe that, you just go on living life, and you will discover very soon that you like to be praised. Everybody likes it, as a matter of fact. And somehow this warm glow we feel when we are praised or when our name is in print is something of the vitamin A to our ego. Nobody is unhappy when they are praised, even if they know they don't deserve it, and even if they don't believe it. The only unhappy people about praise is when that praise is going too much towards somebody else. But everybody likes to be praised because of this real drum major instinct. Do you know that a lot of the race problem grows out of the drum major instinct? A need that some people have to feel superior. A need that some people have to feel that they are first and to feel that their white skin ordained them to be first. They have said over and over again, in ways that we see with our own eyes. In fact, not too long ago, a man down in Mississippi said that God was a charter member of the White Citizens Council. And so God being the charter member means that everybody who's in that has a kind of divinity, a kind of superiority. And think of what has happened in history as a result. This perverted use of the drum major instinct has led to the most tragic prejudice the most tragic expressions of man's inhumanity to man. And not only does this thing go into the racial struggle, it goes into the struggle between nations. And I would submit to you this morning that what is wrong in the world today is that the nations of the world are engaged in a bitter, colossal contest for supremacy. And if some doesn't happen to stop this trend, I'm sorely afraid that we won't be here to talk about Jesus Christ and about God and about brotherhood too many more years. If somebody doesn't bring an end to this suicidal thrust that we see in the world today, none of us are going to be around, because somebody is going to make the mistake through our senseless blunderings of dropping a nuclear bomb somewhere, and then another one is going to drop. And don't let anybody fool you. This can happen within a matter of seconds. They have 20 megaton bombs in Russia right now that can destroy a city as big as New York in 3 seconds, with everybody wiped away in every building. And we can do the same thing to Russia and China. But this is why we are drifting, and we are drifting there. Because nations are caught up with the dumb major instinct. I must be first. I must be supreme. Our nation must rule the world. I am sad to say that the nation in which we live is the supreme culprit. And I'm going to continue to say it to America, because I love this country too much to see the drift that it has taken. God didn't call America to do what she's doing in the world now. God didn't call America to engage in a senseless, unjust war as the war in Vietnam. And we are criminals in that war. We have committed more war crimes almost than any nation in the world. And I'm going to continue to say it. And we won't stop it because of our pride and our arrogance as a nation. But God has a way of even putting nations in their place. The God that I worship has a way of saying, don't play with me. He has a way of saying, as the God of the Old Testament used to say, the Hebrews, don't play with me, Israel. Don't play with me, Babylon. Be still and know that I'm God. If you don't stop your reckless course, I'll rise up and break the backbone of your power.
Whew, yes. Well, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King, he, with speeches like that, took the struggle from a move to stop segregation in the South to a move to create justice for humanity worldwide. And this is why he is celebrated around the world, for the man that he rose to become and for the movement that continues even after his transition, and even after generations have been born that lived after his time, they are still being affected by his words. So we're going to take our last break and come on back. You're watching and listening to Move Around with Deborah on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and of course, Deborah's moving around today and attending the services of a loved person, and we are certainly grateful that Deborah is on our team of hosts, bringing us so much valuable information about travel each third Saturday of the month. And as we look at traveling around the world, we're looking at how one man's vision traveled around the world and transcended race, transcended nationality, and he touched the hearts of the entire human family. So we'll be back after this last break. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. And, of course, we invite you every day to be a part of the Female Solution. Our team of hosts bring us so much insight. Our goal is, as always, to raise consciousness and to transform lives. And that is why we're here. And we'll be back with more Dr. King.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we will continue with another word from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in just a moment.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mama D. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom, women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show, and I'm Naeem Latif. And, of course, today on Move Around with Deborah, we had a chance to listen to some living history as we spoke to Reverend Al Sampson, head of the Fernwood Community Center, Fernwood Community Church, who is one that has been ordained by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He has that historic distinction and was there as one of the contemporaries. And we're back with our sister, Deborah. Yes. Well, Grand Rising. Thank you so much. thank you so much. Oh, here we go. Let me take you off mute here. Oh, you got to take yourself off. Oh, there we go. All right.
I'm sorry. My apparatus overheated.
Oh, uh-oh.
I got a warning, and it shut down. I'm like, oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
What's going on here? You know, the devil, you know, Satan is busy at work.
Well, just another challenge to be overcome. Yes, well, we had a chance to listen to one of Dr. King's speeches, and he spoke about the drum major instinct and, you know, people wanting to be important and be out front and be superior and that sort of thing. And he said that was one of the reasons for the problem of racism and even the abuse of power that America as a nation was exhibiting. And it was one of those speeches that he condemned America for its involvement in the Vietnam War, and he basically made it clear that this was an unjust war, and it was wrong to overpower and misuse and mistreat and abuse citizens of other nations. So that was one of those speeches that brought him to that global platform, and we were just speaking about the fact that the movement started out, you know, a local issue, Montgomery, and its segregated buses, and it grew to the whole national issue of segregation and discrimination, and then it grew to human rights globally.
Yes.
And this is
because one of the things he said was ending racism and colonialism is a global struggle. And that's a struggle that I remember when I read about he going to Ghana and they were having the same challenges with the superiority.
Yeah.
Them other people.
Mm-hmm.
That we were having in America, and it is not a problem that we just have here in America, although we challenge it in different ways, in different cultures, challenge it differently and address it differently, but it is all the same.
Right.
It is a fight and a struggle that is universal because, you know, everybody, even though we speak different languages and we have different structures, mm-hmm. we still all bleed the same.
That's right.
We are still all people. And I think even talking about universal challenges, I believe the folks even in other universes have the same challenges.
Absolutely.
I can almost assure because they struggle with superiority. They struggle with colonialism. Who's on top? Who's not? Who can make it? Who can't? And, you know, you can't fight violence. One of the things he said, you can't fight against one type of violence without also acknowledging other types of violence happening around the world.
He was
internationally noted even in his short period of time that he was in this struggle and that he was in this fight. It was just a short period of have to understand and respect yourself. And that filters out into your home, onto your
yes.
block, into your neighborhood, into your city, and in your state, and around your community. Why? You have to have respect. And Reverend Samson was so eloquent in putting
yes.
out the laws, the information, education, purification. Then you had the confrontation. You had to put the negotiation, the reconciliation, and the plan.
Right.
You had to put all of that works together. I tell my children sometimes that there's three C's. There's communication, commitment, and compromise. And you have to have it in order to move on to the next level in your life. So it is a universal thing, no matter what language you speak. And I am glad to have us here at the Female Solution be universal in sharing the word and expounding on this platform that we have. And I thank you so much for being there for me and with me today.
Yes. Well, this is a day that we want to define as a recommitment to a principle of global peace. This is our thrust for this year, pushing for our global push for peace. And that is what Dr. King's vision ultimately was. So now I'm going to share again, and Deborah recently, she also briefly gave those steps toward actualizing the change that needs to occur when we are confronting the unjust system of whether it be racism, colonialism, whatever it is that is causing people to misuse each other in an unjust manner. And so now the steps that he spoke of course, number one was information, meaning you got to know what is happening, you know, what is the problem. And then next step, education. You have to learn about it, understand the situation, understand what occurred before, so you have some type of historical knowledge that will give you a vision of what needs to be done, so you have the details of what you need to do. And then purification. This is a spiritual component. You must be spiritually prepared for this battle because it is a spiritual battle. This is, in a real sense, spiritual warfare. You're fighting, and Dr. King would always say, we're going to meet their physical force with soul force. A lot of people didn't understand what that meant. But there is an unseen power that we all have, the power of our own life force energy. And that means you must be in a state of spiritual purity so that what you're doing is not with the intention of violence or vengeance. Like he told the story about the little old lady with the hammer. She was going to beat one of them. But he said, we can't do that. You have to have that spirit of love in you, which means transcending anger at what someone did. So you have to be in a state of spiritual purity. And he talked about fasting, how that actually had an impact because you're actually doing battle in the unseen realm. So that's a big part of it. And then, of course, after that is the confrontation. You're going to confront face-to-face those negative forces, those forces that are bent on your destruction, your demise, your being broken and beaten into submission. You're confronting them. And then, of course, there has to be a point where you have a, now let's see, I believe the negotiation comes before the reconciliation, or the reconciliation come before the negotiation. I think.
Yeah, that was kind of, I'm not quite sure. But he will come back and speak on that even more. He said he would be glad to come back and talk about that even more. So I'm looking forward to that.
Because there has to be a negotiation as to what is going to actually happen, how you resolve the issue. And then, of course, there has to be a reconciliation where you then resolve. And then, you know, the last step, of course, is an actualization of a plan that is going to be put in place. So we do know that nonviolent direct action was a very controversial tactic, because people had to be taught how to confront evil and not return evil for evil. You had to be taught how not to be pushed into retaliation, because then you would give people a target and a reason to attack. So therefore, you had to appeal to something inside of them. You're actually appealing to their higher self, their soul, which is, in the essence, everybody's soul is pure. And that's the thing that many people who didn't understand that tactic didn't quite get. How are you standing up to these violent people and you're not hitting back? Why are you doing that? I mean, they're not going to fear us. Well, it's not about getting people to fear you, because fear only creates violence. People react to fear with violence because they fear for their safety. You've got to appeal to the soul, which is their connection to God, which is only pure love, and that is the transformative element that will change them. You're changing them from the inside out. That is what that struggle is. That's what that tactic is. That's what that strategy is. And that's why that purification step is so critical, because you are appealing on the level that we all exist and we all are connected to God. So you must appeal to the God self that person has forgotten. That's why Dr. King was such a profound leader.
And I think purification also filters in what we have inherently do. You know how you have a reaction to every action, and typically it's been you get hit, somebody hits you, you hit back. So now we have to purify those thoughts.
Absolutely.
And cleanse them. And learn a different tactic than we've, you know, been inherited with for generations.
Yes.
And that struggle goes on and on and on and on. Yeah, that's a struggle that we'll have forever.
Absolutely.
But as long as we continue to struggle and don't let it subside, there is change and a chance for growth and betterment.
That is true.
And so you keep throwing something upside the wall, it'll eventually stick. Yes, don't stop. Practice makes perfect.
Yes.
And if you practice properly, the perfection will be there.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we learned from Dr. King is that persistence does pay off. There were many, many changes. This nation is not what it was 30, 40, 50 years ago, even though we've had some political leaders that try to bring it back. But the people themselves has changed, and each generation has changed. You have young people now that they are taking the world to a whole different level of awareness. And so each generation has been transformed so that we can finally get to that new world where people truly do see each other as brothers and sisters, and there is an end to that need for somebody to try to be superior to somebody. And so this is, as you just heard Deborah say, this is an ongoing struggle, but that's why we're here. That's what the Earth School is for. It's for purification of our souls. So this is why we're confronting this kind of a struggle where we have people who are at the highest level of spiritual awareness and people who are at the lowest level of spiritual awareness. And to try to lift those that are at the bottom up, it takes a higher spiritual energy. It takes the energy of love, compassion, and persistence and courageousness to confront it and transform it. And this is what Dr. King's work was about, and he was successful in transforming humanity. So we want to thank you all for joining us today, this birthday celebration and commemoration of Dr. Martin Luther King. Last words, Deborah? Last thoughts you'd like to share with us as we leave our audience?
I want to say one thing. This is not what Dr. Kinson's are about. We continue his lessons into infinity. What's that damn beyond?
Because
he's passed, the lessons have passed. No, we're keeping on.
Yes, we are. The lessons are infinity. And thank you, our host, Deborah. Love that thing. And beyond.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear
thank
every
you all,
show
and
in the archives.
Tune in tomorrow for
blogtalkradio.com/the-PM to 9 PM solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-PM solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyabat. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Talk about genealogy and the worldwide reach
yes.
of that.
Right, because our family has done our genealogy, so I know my roots now, so we'll talk about that. Yes, we will.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, yes. Moving around.
All right.
Love.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you.